Amen. 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 Well, we're back in this passage of the Christian armor. And remember the opening statement where Paul says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, if you don't believe that there is a real living devil, the malicious, wicked one, well, I don't suppose this preaching will do you any good. Now, there's a straight path that we need to take on this subject, because there's a ditch on either side of this road. There are some people that seem to be obsessed with angels and wicked angels, demons and devils, and it seems that their whole life is just focused upon that angelic and demonic world. We're not of that persuasion. We do not believe the Bible teaches us that we should be totally obsessed with those things. But there is a ditch on the other side of the road too, if we go to the point where we deny that there is such a thing as angels, guardian angels, angels that protect us, angels that come to our aid in various situations. And then the demonic, fallen, wicked angels, that there is this warfare going on even in the realms of the unseen between Michael the archangel and all the followers and the hosts that seem to serve him. And then the angels that do the bidding of the Lord, that there is this interaction and battle going on to try and rule this world. Satan calls himself the God of this world. And he calls angels and fallen men to serve him. They are held in the grip of the wicked one, the Bible tells us. And that he leads souls captivity at his will. And so when Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden, the whole world came under the grip and the control of Satan. But we praise God for our Lord Jesus, who is the conqueror, and he has broken the powers of the devil, and he has bound him up and limited him, so that anything that Satan does, it is under the control and indeed by the permission of the Lord. The Bible teaches us this in many ways. If you read the book of Revelation, you'll find little statements like, "Satan, it was given unto him to whatever, harass the saints, send fire and flood, and do dangerous and dastardly things." And it was given to him. Satan is therefore under the control of God at all times. When you read the story of Job and how Satan came with the sons of men into the counsels of God, and God challenged Satan, said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And then Satan said, but you have a hedge about him. You have a hedge about him. And we have to take heart today that every Christian has a hedge about him. But if God was to remove that hedge, we'd be in big trouble, and we would be without protection in this world. And so we need a balance here. We need to be careful that we don't, on one hand, become so obsessed that you can't sleep at night because there's demons at your window, or we're so obsessed because the devil's after you and so on, that you have no peace, you have no hope in this sinful, wicked world, because it is the world where the devil reigns supreme. And if we get obsessed with that, we lose the very victory of the gospel. But at the same time, we cannot deny, because we have this passage here of Ephesians 6, where we're exhorted to put on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's at work. And he's at work to destroy the Christian church. He's at work to oppose the Christian. And therefore, this need for spiritual armor. Now, don't get hung up in the whole analogy of Paul, where he takes the soldier and takes the various items of armor and talks on the physical realm of how a soldier guards himself, prepares himself, and protects himself in battle. But Paul is using that analogy how you protect your heart, your mind, and your Christian walk, that you might be protected against all of these things. Now, we've looked at three already. We have looked at number one, the loins girt about with truth. That's verse 14. And then also verse 14, we have the breastplate of righteousness. We've looked at those two. And then we've looked at the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We come now to the center one. There are seven in all. And the one we're looking at today is number four. And therefore, we may say central. And you'll notice how the apostle puts it in verse 16, above all. Above all. There seems to be an emphasis here on this one. Not denying the others or not taking away the others, but along with, don't miss this one. Even you have the others in place. You're girded with truth. You have on this breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Even you have those things, don't miss this one. Because above all, taking the shield of faith. Now, in the Roman military, a shield was a vital part of their armor. And it was used extensively and to great advantage. In ancient warfare, one of the first barrage of attacks was the arrow flying through the air, and very often a fiery arrow dipped in tar or with a rag, and it would reach the target and burst into flame. And what an opponent this was. If you're standing in rank and the enemy is hurling and firing these fiery darts toward you, how do you protect yourself against such a barrage of attack? Well, the Roman soldier had this shield. It was sizable. It started off something very large, but then they reduced it in size to be more mobile. It may have been started off the size of a door. And then they reduced it to about 4 feet by 2. And then they put a curve in it so that it would deflect the arrow without as much damage or impact upon the shield. And so the Roman army really refined this ability to protect themselves by these large shields. And when they stood in rank, they would put them together. And they would really have a total covering over them from all the weaponry and the darts that were coming at them. Paul takes this analogy and he says, what a wonderful thing for a Christian to have a shield. And he says, this equates to something that you have all the time if you're a Christian, and something that is a wonderful protection, and it's your faith. It's your faith. It is something that you possess as a Christian that will quench. And you'll notice how Paul puts it, this quench the fiery darts of the wicked. And that wicked there really is the wicked one of the devil himself, this enemy of your soul. Now, this shield is different from the other three because it's not attached to the soldier. It is something that is, yes, held in his, mostly his left arm, if he has a sword on his right arm. And he would hold that shield, but it is something that's not attached to him. It's not like the breastplate is attached to the body, or the shoes to the feet, or the other items that are really strapped on to the body. But you could say that only a fool would go into a battle without a shield. How exposed you would be, and how soon you would be routed and left incapable of standing in the heat of battle. And so the emphasis on this, above all, above all. Now, what about your faith today? What about this condition of your faith in the Lord? I'd have to say to you that your faith is the most important part of arming yourself for a spiritual battle against discouragement, against the whole attack against the church, the attack to deny the gospel. The one thing that will protect you and make you a strong, stable, victorious Christian is your faith. And that's why I wanted to read Hebrews 11. We read there the example of men and women in that chapter who conquered through faith, of tremendous challenges and oppositions and struggles. They laid hold upon God by their faith. And that passage in Hebrews 11:6, it is therefore impossible. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. How important it is. And your faith is the very thing that will make you a Christian to stand and lay hold upon God. Now, it's not faith in your faith. It is not you believing in what you believe. I'm not sure if I put that well. That could be very awkward. Faith is something outside of yourself. It's something you have, but the object of your faith is not you, and it's not something you possess. You have the faith, but the thing you're believing in, well, it's God. He is the object of your faith. We have these promises. We are laying hold upon God's wonderful promises. We're also laying hold upon the power of God. Peter said in 1 Peter 1:5 that we are kept by the power of God through faith. And so this shield of faith, it is you withstanding the darts of the wicked one by laying hold on something. It's not faith itself, but it's what faith is in. And of course, your faith today as a Christian is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. I want to turn you to 1 John 5 and verses 4 and 5. And you see here that your faith is in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. This is a great text for one who is fighting the battle, seeking to stand true to God, and living for the Lord. 1 John 5, 4 and 5. And whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And so here we have the object of our faith. Now we could analyze your faith. We could analyze this whole process of accepting, believing, trusting. But the emphasis here is on the Lord himself. And in what you're trusting. And what you're basing your whole hope upon. And your confidence upon. And it's not yourself. And it's not your own personal powering up of faith. But it is the object, the whole plan of the gospel, the whole work of redemption on the Lord Jesus. Now, we as Christians, we need to take this battle into the Christian life. We're facing a terrible foe, the devil, and he wants to rob us of everything we have in Christ. He wants to trip us up and bring us down and have us fall smashing head face first into the dirt of this world. And he is daily hurling his fiery darts in that spiritual realm. And he targets us, and he will throw all those wicked devices to bring us down. And this is a constant battle. Now, sometimes there are lulls, like trench warfare. If you remember, especially in the First World War, whenever you had two armies and they were dug in, one was in this trench and the other was in that trench, and somebody popped their head up, you'd get shot at. But once in a while, you would see the opposing army climb up out of their trench and try to advance. They would try to gain ground. And then the battle would be on, and the fire would take place. And there will be some times in your Christian life when it all will be just like, well, is there even a devil at all? Is there anybody in that trench? Is the enemy there? There's not a shot being fired today. And then when you're unsuspecting and not even waiting, you see the enemy approach with all his fury seeking to attack. And I think there are times when Christians will feel that sudden attack of the devil. He opposes in so many ways, and he comes when we're least suspecting. I think churches will find that too. There are periods when the church seems to be almost immune to the attack of the enemy. And then suddenly, all fire breaks out against the gospel church that is seeking to stand up for the Lord Jesus. And thus we need this shield of faith. And we need to know how to handle it. And we know how to lay hold upon the promises, the power of God, and to stand upon the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Now, how is it going to help? What does it really do for us? I want to be as practical as I can today. I know that I'm inclined as a preacher to get away off in doctrine and away off in some great truths and try and preach them, but today I want to be just right down where the rubber meets the road and where you're at as a Christian in everyday walk. And I want you to take this to heart today, that there's help. There's help for your Christian life. You are not called to live in defeat. Now, you're never going to be free from the battle, but God has given us the tools. He's given us the weapons by which we can stand. That's the will of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand. And there is a way by which God comes to our aid. And we're to take this shield of faith. So I want us to look at that the shield of faith can fight off Satan's accusations. Here's an area where you will have fiery darts thrown at you. The accusations of the devil. In Revelation 12:10, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. That's his subtle, pernicious, malicious manner of attacking God's people. He accuses. He seeks to lay charge against God's elect. And this is his constant bombardment. Now, this is seeming strange. And yet there are incidents in the Bible where this was very evident. In the book of Zechariah 3, there was Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Here is a servant of God, Joshua. He's engaged in worshiping God, and Satan comes alongside to resist him. The other example, I suppose, is much better known, and that is the one of Job. And here is the godliest man in the land. And he is God's trophy. Because if you read Job 1, you'll find that in that dialogue between God and the devil, that it was God that pointed out Job. And he said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? Have you been watching him? He's faithful. He escheweth evil. He's upright. He's a godly man." And then what does Satan do? He accuses Job. And he comes with that subtle attack, with that devilish argument. Does Job serve God for naught? In other words, Job's only in it for the luxuries. He's a rich man. He's got servants. He's got a large family. He's got tents and herds. He's a rich man. And Job, he's serving God for all the benefits. And then that unleashes a great drama. And you know the story of Job, how God allowed the devil to take away those things. And God was proving Job and proving to the devil that Job was not serving God for the luxuries, the stuff, the benefits. But when he was stripped right down naked to the dust, lost everything, lost his health, there in suffering, where his wife said, "Curse God and die," Job stayed true. And perhaps the best statement of Job's strength was, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." And Job, through faith, and I want to read you the statement of Job 19:25, Job's great statement of faith, "For I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he will stand on the latter day upon the earth." I know. What was Job doing? He was taking the shield of faith. He was laying hold upon the promises, the truth of God, the power of God, and standing firm. standing firm in the heat of that battle. And then he went on to say, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God." Does it pay to serve God? Yes. Not for the earthly benefits, not for the luxuries, not to escape things, but even in suffering, because there's a resurrection day. And my Redeemer will come. And though my body return to the dust, in my flesh I shall see God. And there's the devil and all his so-called encouragers coming to Job. And it is by the shield of faith that he stands against the very accusations of the devil. Now you need to be prepared, because these accusations come to you in many forms. The devil doesn't work just from a standard form, and every time he attacks a Christian he uses the same method. Well, we can repeat them over and over again, generation after generation, because many people are not aware of what happened in the generation before. But he doesn't come to you often the same way twice. And you have to be prepared for these accusations, firstly in your prayer life. The devil will come and say, "You're not worthy to pray. Who are you? Do you think God's going to listen to your prayers? This is useless." And the devil will put the very accusation into your ear that you could never pray effectively. And then you need the shield of faith, where the Lord promises that he hears the cry of the righteous. "Ask in my name and it shall be given unto you." You need to come with the shield of faith. When the devil accuses you in the prayer closet, and he will, let me tell you, there is no place where the battle rages more than in the place of private prayer and the church at prayer. The devil will accuse, and he'll come very subtly. Or it may be in your public testimony, where men will be moved to accuse you and to tear the heart out of you through their hateful slurs. Then you need the shield of faith. Then you need to stand strong in the promises, in the doctrines, and in the power of God. Take hold of each one of them to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. The word quench means to extinguish, put out those fires. And if you're in the office or the workplace and there's some enemy that opposes you, and you can, by faith, "Hey, that's nothing, that doesn't disturb me. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know that I have the promise of God. I know that I have the righteousness of Christ." And likewise, as you would seek to worship God. So there, you can take the shield of faith to fight off the accusations of the devil. One more. The shield of faith, you can fight off Satan's temptations. Now, you'll notice that I'm coming into a different category here. There's the things the devil accuses, and then there are those temptations that he uses. Well, when he tempts us to doubt God, that's the tempter at work. And this is the devil's classic method, first introduced in Eden, whenever Eve said, "God said." But the devil put the question mark and said, "Hath God said? Hath God said?" And the devil wants you and me to doubt God. If he can get us to doubt God, doubt his word, doubt his truths, then we will be rendered ineffective in our fight for the Lord. And no doubt, the devil sows the seeds of doubt in our hearts. He's very effective at this. I can't fully explain it, but it's true that the devil has access to our minds. He has access to our thoughts. And he can plant thoughts in your heart that are lies, totally untrue, and he will fill your mind with so much that you will forget to factor God in life's decisions. And you end up following the very prompts of the devil. Now, this shield of faith is the answer. Don't listen. Give no place to the devil. Faith needs to be strong in God's word. And when there are those thoughts that come to your mind, and you analyze them in the light of the word of God, you can call them a lie. And you're using the shield of faith. This book comes first. It is the bedrock the benchmark of faith. Even the Lord Jesus did this in the wilderness when Satan came to tempt the Lord Jesus and promised him a whole lot of things. And the Lord Jesus said, "It is written. It is written." And there was the Lord taking the shield of faith. He was taking the word of God and fighting off the very devil's accusations. When the devil tempts us to disobey God, there are so many pressures in this fallen world to disobey God. But Satan's temptations are straight to the mind. And how do you recognize Satan's temptation? How do you recognize those thoughts that would lead us astray? How do we recognize that it's Satan's prompting? Well, I would say for sure, if it comes absolutely suddenly, if it is a thought that you'd never put in your mind before, you haven't even been pondering, and it's some sudden temptation. You waken up in the morning, and the very thought's in your mind, and it's a thought to disobey God, to do the very thing that you know to be wrong. You didn't read about it, you didn't learn it, you didn't hear someone else talk about it. It's a direct attack upon your own mind by Satan. And we have to recognize it and take the shield of faith that we may withstand against that very thought that came into the mind. Now, you can't always blame the devil. If you've been reading some magazine or some book that's ungodly, unclean, and put thoughts in your mind that are rebellious to God, well, don't blame the devil. You did the reading. You focused on those things and allowed the very facts of those things to come into your mind. You learned them by human means. Can't blame the devil directly for that. That's your own lust. That's your own folly. But when something comes to the mind that's strange, sudden, that's Satan's work. And how often people have been moved even to commit suicide by a sudden attack. Walking along a bridge. And looking down at the water below. And Satan puts it in the mind, jump in. And we're talking about the spiritual world and the access that Satan has to the mind. It's a very dangerous realm. And we need the shield of faith. We need that shield to protect us against those darts, those fiery darts, that we will immediately quench them, extinguish them, put them out, put them away. Give no place to those very things. A couple of other items. We need that shield of faith when he tempts us to follow after our own lusts. Not everything comes from the devil. There are our own lusts involved. But this shield of faith will protect you because it makes you to hate sin. Makes you to hate sin. Makes you to abhor that which is evil and to cleave to that which is good. And so it delivers us from those attacks. Another one is when he tempts us to harm a brother in Christ. That's Satan's attack. It's not of God to hurt a brother in Christ or a sister in the Lord. Satan is a murderer. He works by putting hatred into hearts. And when you learn the stats of murder in our cities, in our land, the number of murders that are carried out daily in our country is undoubtedly the work of Satan. Satan is a murderer from the beginning. He put murder into the heart of Cain. And he puts murder into the heart of men. But when he puts the thoughts of hatred into the heart of a Christian, that becomes now a real battle. A battle for truth. The Lord Jesus, of course, taught us to love our brethren. And by this shall all men know that you're my disciples when ye love one another. What happens when Christians don't love one another? What happens when there's a root of bitterness and there's tug of war? When there's animosity building up between two that are both redeemed by the blood of Christ? When Satan throws a dart to tempt you to destroy a brother's name, a brother's testimony, then you need the shield of faith. You need to be on guard. And you need to apply that shield of faith by calling on the work of Christ. Because He shed His blood for Christians. And if Satan is motivating us to hate our brother, we need to see the blood mark upon that person. There's a text that says, "Destroy not thy brother for whom Christ died." And when you see that the blood of Christ purchased that person, redeemed him, then you ought not to work for his downfall. You ought not to work for his destruction or discomfort or embarrassment. We are called to build up one another. And it's a sad thing when Christians allow the devil's prompt to hate, despise a fellow believer. And it's then that we need the shield of faith. And we need to be on guard against those attacks. We need to recognize them, and we need to take the shield of faith to quench them. Put them out. Put them away. This is not the will of God. I want now to come to imaginations in the time that's left here. The shield of faith can fight off Satan's imaginations. Satan can play with your mind. He can make you think of things that are not true. Now, I make a difference between temptations and imaginations, because temptations are true. Sin is real. Rebellion to God to enter those things which do exist. But imaginations are those things that don't even exist. But Satan plays tricks on our minds. There are Christians who get into trouble because of seeming offenses. And they feel offended. They feel slighted. And they come to the conclusion, that person doesn't like me. Or in the family this can develop as well. Some sense that I'm being opposed, I'm being jilted, I'm being set aside. And it's not true at all. It's something that's absolutely untrue. Oppositions. Some may be standing on pure principle and defending a particular truth or value that he sees clearly, and you perceive that he's just out to make life difficult for you. That's how you conclude it. And there comes into your mind just simply this imagination. Now, this is all part of the devil trying to divide, cause people to hate one another, destroy one another, and break down that happy communion that ought to be amongst God's people. And it happens in marriages. It happens between husbands and wives, where the devil creates this imaginary situation and causes a husband to think, my wife's set against me. She's making life difficult. She's opposing me. And all the while there's a proper good explanation. And it comes down to good communication between husband and wife. And very often in counseling between husband and wives, when you get all parties to put everything on the table and talk it out, it really just was a figment of the imagination. And something can blow up out of nothing. But Satan can do that. And we need the shield of faith against it. It can happen in families, where families are torn apart because Satan works on people's imaginations. It can happen in the workplace, and it can happen in the church, where Satan uses these thoughts that are totally out of the realm of reality, and it causes division, hurt, and attack. All of these things are Satan's suggestions in the mind, and this is how he works to take us out of the battle and diminish the cause of Christ. I wanted us to focus on that verse that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of a sound mind. The spirit of fear, that certainly is the devil's work. The fearful Christian is the opposite to the Christian who's living by faith. When you are literally looking over your shoulder, on guard, uncomfortable, by some means, then you're not living using the shield of faith. That sense, God is my protector. God's word is true. His promises are for me. I claim them and live by faith, not out of fear. And he gives us power. And he gives us a sound mind. You need to pray for that. And here is Paul writing to young Timothy. And he's in the heat of the battle. He's a young pastor in a first generation church with his all manner of issues and oppositions. And Paul says, be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ or of me, his prisoner. There was a danger of young Timothy through a fearful spirit backing off. Not standing strong, not doing the work that he should do as a Christian or as a pastor because of the spirit of fear. It's then we need the shield of faith. It's then we need to be standing squarely and firmly on those things that are absolutely sure and that we can lay hold upon. Faith goes to God's word for the final answer to every situation. And so today I call you to use the shield of faith. The faith that God has given you as a Christian. Don't let it die. Don't let it cool. Don't let it be lost. But grant that you stand firmly, squarely on the mighty truth, and quench those fiery darts